Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, I'm pleased to say, joined as we have the privilege of being each week at about this time by our friend Gordon Chang, one of the country's duty experts on matters involving, well, America's interests, but also those of others in the Western Pacific, China not least among them. Gordon, you have written extensively on various aspects of Chinese policy, notably in your book, The Coming Collapse of China. And, of course, in your Forbes and World Affairs Journal and Daily Beast writings and your appearances at Fox, I'm very intrigued by your thoughts about what the United States might do, having invited the Chinese to participate once again in these Rim of the Pacific exercises, in light of its China's ongoing misbehavior.
China's participation in RIMPAC 2016 is inappropriate. And it's inappropriate because these exercises are meant for friends and allies. And especially in the 2 years that have followed the RIMPAC 2014, China has shown that it is an adversary to the United States and the international community. In RIMPAC 2014, the U.S. Navy tried to engage the Chinese, and indeed Chinese ships participated in that event. But the Chinese also sent an intelligence trawler just outside of the exercise area, and that is indeed an unfriendly act. And so, therefore, it seems they shouldn't be invited in this year's iteration of RIMPAC. The other thing, though, is that we don't have to necessarily disinvite China. All we have to do is do something that we should have been doing all along, and that is having the Taiwanese Navy with us. And therefore, I think the Chinese would probably steam away in a huff, and we would, you know, it's good to isolate China, but it's even better to have China isolate itself.
I think this is an intriguing idea and needless to say, worth doing on its merits, let alone on the point that you're making, Gordon, that conceivably it could finesse the Chinese out and at least reduce the possibility that we will see them compromising really important military techniques and capabilities and alliance relationships to boot. Let me ask you, Gordon, about one other piece of this. You have contributed to the book that we finally put out last week, Warning Order, China Prepares for Conflict and Why We Must Do the Same. You've written in there about this problem of the South China Sea. Tell us what the latest developments are with respect to was expected to be imminently a ruling by the so-called Law of the Sea Tribunal arbitrating the dispute between China and the Philippines about some of the claims China's made in the South, the Western Pacific.
You know, most everybody expects a ruling from The Hague either this month or next month. There was an intriguing story in the South China Morning Post of Hong Kong that said a group of Chinese scholars who undoubtedly were acting on behalf of Beijing have raised jurisdiction questions, which have been important all along. But the raising of these at the last moment suggests, though doesn't actually say, but it does suggest that the ruling will be postponed while these new considerations are looked at. So I think that there's a possibility that this might be delayed. We really don't know at this point, but nonetheless, there will be a ruling soon, if not this month, then maybe in the coming months. And this will be important because China is thought to going to react in ways that are going to destabilize the region, either declaring a South China Sea air defense identification zone, including the sovereign airspace of other countries, and perhaps starting to dredge and fill Scarborough Shoal, which would make permanent an act of aggression from early 2012.
And really be a problem not just for the Philippines, but for American use of naval and air facilities in the Philippines, would it not, Gordon Chang?
Well, certainly, because Scarborough Shoal is just 100 nautical miles from the main island of Luzon of the Philippines. And indeed, it would control the entrance to Manila Bay. It would be very near to Clark and Subic. And so, therefore, it would have an effect of controlling the main island of the Philippines and the military facilities there. This has generally been thought to be part of the Philippines for hundreds of years. Scarborough Shoal is very far away from the nearest first Chinese coast. And so this seems to me to be a clear case that the Philippines has sovereignty. This is going to be perhaps one of the issues that the tribunal will rule on. No one really knows exactly the extent of the tribunal's rulings. There is some indication that the tribunal will want to make some rulings in favor of China in order to get the Chinese to buy on to the jurisdiction of the court. That's a futile attempt. So this is going to be really important when we see the final decision of the panel.
Well, we'll be watching it closely. It will be very interesting to see whether, if in fact China, does not interpose new facts on the ground or on the waters, as they say, how else they might respond to this ruling. They are, of course, as we've talked about many times in the past, Gordon, a signatory to the Law of the Sea Treaty, something the United States is not a member of, thank God, but it will be most interesting to see if they allow themselves to be in any way trifled with by this international panel. Hey, Gordon, let me talk about one other aspect of Chinese behavior, not in the South China Sea, but up by Japan. On the 15th, I believe, there was some new aggressive behavior by the Chinese. What's going on there?
A Chinese intelligence ship passed inside of Japanese territorial waters near one of the main islands of Japan, off the coast of two smaller islands. The Chinese are saying that this was a transit of an international strait, but the transit does not look as to be expeditious, and which it needs to be in order to be considered such a transit. Just a week after a Chinese frigate, a warship, for the first time entered the contiguous zone off of one of the Senkaku Islands. The contiguous zone is that band of water between 12 and 24 nautical miles from the feature. And so this is a first for the Chinese. And this follows just 2 days after the Chinese made an unsafe intercept of a U.S. Air Force RC-135 in the vicinity of the East China Sea, over the East China Sea. So essentially you have the Chinese shifting their focus northward out of the South China Sea to the East China Sea this month. And by the way, Frank, it's not just water that we have a problem. This month, China also intruded into the Indian state of Arunachal Pradesh at four separate locations. And so clearly the Chinese are pushing out in both the south and the east at the same time.
Provocative behavior, without exception, I'm afraid. Gordon, speaking of provocative behavior and Northeast Asia, you've written recently about the Chinese are likely to be cheating yet again on North Korean sanctions. That's not exactly what John Kerry has been telling us about Chinese responses to UN Security Council Resolution 2270, the latest in the series of sanctions that the UN has meted out. What are the Chinese doing in this regard? And again, what are the implications of it for us?
There are two things that the Chinese have been doing which are a contravention of not only Resolution 2270, but the prior sets of sanctions. First of all, they appear to allow Kim Jong-un, the ruler of North Korea, to import luxury items that were given to the delegates at the 7th Party Congress. That's a clear violation of prior sanctions resolutions. But even more important, it appears that China is allowing trade in materials for North Korea's uranium nuclear weapons program. There were cylinders of uranium hexafluoride that were allowed into North Korea, along with vacuum valves, computers, and pumps. So this is a major violation of Security Council resolutions, and clearly the United States has yet to look at this. This is important because, you know, the Chinese can make 2270 and the four prior sets of resolutions dead letters, as they have in the past. So we need to be vigilant and we need to speak truth in public, not just in private.
Gordon, we have to leave it at that for the moment. This will be a topic for conversation, I'm sure, next week. We look forward to it and appreciate all that you do at Forbes and World Affairs Journal, Fox News, and, of course, here. Keep it up, my friend. Come back to us again soon. And next up, we'll be speaking with Tom Popick, the chairman of the Foundation for Resilient Societies. Straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.